live from Liverpool. We don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, all you wonderful and beautiful people. It is, of course, time for a Wednesday's We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. However, as was explained on Sunday's episode, it is in fact part two of the interview we carried out with Ethna Brown. Yes, it is. So we kind of do talk about ghosts in it, so it's a bit of a lie to say we don't need to talk about ghosts, when in essence, we are talking about ghosts. You get the gist. Anyway, this is part two of the Ethna Brown interview. Don't forget, we also done a Patreon special with Ethna where we discussed the fact that she'd had tarot readings and psychic readings from none other than Derek Acora and Billy Roberts. That's up on the Patreon page, and if you'd like to go and listen to that, you need to become a member of our Patreon. You need to go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. There'll also be a link in the show notes. Anywho, in the meantime and in between time, this is part two of our interview with the wonderful, the delectable, the delightful Ethna Brown.
And she gave me a beautiful angel. Yeah. That sat on my mantelpiece. That flew off.
Really?
It really, literally did fall off. I didn't push it. It wasn't balancing. It wasn't a tiny little wobbly bit of wood.
Yeah.
It fell off and it broke.
What about, did you ever hear noises in there that you couldn't attribute to things? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't an odd noise place. That's not what stays with me about it. It was how it actually felt.
Yeah.
The things that physically moved and were broken and, you know, the whole sort of... who wants to walk into their beautiful home and suddenly start feeling fear?
Well, you know what? This is the thing. And again, the guys on the show know about this, but I'll you don't. So and I'll be very brief with it. But I've spoke often that I think there's something potentially in this flat. We've had a few weird things.
There's not something.
Becca's a skeptic, so
yeah. But also, there's nothing in this flat.
Well, anyway, so we were both stood in the kitchen once. We were stood in the kitchen. Ethna's just said Becca's right.
Yeah, she's just that's all judged it with the hands of it. Yep, she's right.
But we were both stood in the kitchen once, wasn't we? We were talking away, and it was an older tap than that. It was like a lever tap. And as we're talking, the tap we turn around, we both see it. The tap just comes on.
That's
we did
an exaggeration of that. This story has evolved from the very first.
Yeah,
no, I like it. Once upon a time, there was a tap. Carry on from here.
So, anyway, I mean, you disagree that that's the version of events. I say it is that version of events. But your point
What we agreeing is that the tap came on.
Right. So, but the point is, I was all over it at first, because I'm a believer. I'm a big fan. I was like, this is amazing. But then, it dawned on. I got a genuine sense of this isn't all right. I thought if there is something I got terrified, and I started to see. I'm not saying this is why you've done it. But I started to see why people would want it there to be a rational explanation. Because I thought it's all very well and good, a tap just coming on. But that also means I'm sharing this flat with something that has the power to move things around without anything to do with what I say.
Water.
And you freaked yourself out.
Yeah.
Water. I used to have water problems.
Oh, really?
Not physically myself, just to make that plain. But things with water.
Yeah.
And that's still, to this day, there's a water things that, you know...
Honestly,
I suddenly started from never having it before to have problems where water was concerned in my home.
Yeah.
And you know that feeling of bringing something with you?
Do you feel like you've got rid of it now?
Not fully.
Really?
No. No. I think it's a sort of lesson, but there are moments when I would just say, oh, for goodness sakes. It would be... It's not... it's diminished...
Yeah.
It's diminished. If that was the source of where it was and, you know, and it came, something ever, whatever came. I did feel like I had an attachment, a carry out on me.
Yeah. Right. But that's a...
Not nice.
No, and there's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's not very well known Western-wise, that idea that you're carrying something from one place to another as an attachment. But in Japanese folklore, they've got a term for it which escapes me now, but there's loads of old drawings and carvings and stuff of a man or a woman walking around with like a skeletal figure on the back. And it's that idea that you've carried an attachment with you or something that's just took a fancy to you.
To incubus or something like
that.
The
incubus and succubus are the sexual
succubus there, that's it,
sort of nighttimey demons.
Yeah.
Was it when you moved to the next place, was that okay? Was that nice and well, or was it sinister?
Yeah. The next place was where I'd actually stayed. You know, when I'd moved out to, because they became friends. Mm-hmm. They were away most of the time I was there, and they were a family with three growing children and a dog. And I'd met them when I lived at Sefton Drive. Mm-hmm. You know, they were friends of the people who lived there.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, come and stay with us. You know, when I was looking for somewhere to camp out to, and I was trying various places, I didn't want to go back to Adelphi.
Yeah.
And then they just said, you know, we kept in touch, and when they heard about things going wrong again, and they just went, look, the person who's living in our flat is moving out in autumn, you know, whenever, why don't you move in? Mm. And I actually moved in, because this was after it just got really, really, really bad, and I was just very, very unhappy living there, and... work was great, you know. I had lots of work on.
I've so you're outside
stuff
of that house,
and they just said, "Come and stay with us." So there I went back to this white, wonderful top floor space with children. I mean, it was noisy, but great noise.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't people like in Hope
upstairs.
Street. Oh, yeah, they did. The two women on the top floor, absolute murder. The guy above me. I thought, I went to my window once and I opened my bedroom window. It was like early hours of the morning. I thought it must have been a festival on the pierhead because music comes up. No, he just got one of those sense around things.
Oh, God.
And it was... just
inconsiderate, isn't it?
I know, but it was just then it began, you know, there's other things that you could put up with.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be a good neighbour, you know, dead nice guy other times, but, you know, it got to be problematic. And then you just think, why am I living here now?
Yeah.
I'm not welcome anymore. I wasn't welcome at first. I am not welcome and I need to leave.
Did you? So
I was sad. I walk past it now and it just makes me go, could I have done? No, walk on.
Just the two things that I want to ask. So firstly, do you, what, the people who you then, you're talking about, like, you know, the conversation about moving in with them and stuff, did you tell them what was going on paranormal wise and how did they react to it?
They were just like, you know, there were a couple with three grown children and their attitude was just leave it all behind. Come here. They didn't laugh at me. They didn't. It wasn't like, because they know I'm not that sort of person.
Well, yeah.
I don't. I get paid for drama.
Yeah.
I don't have to pretend it.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing.
And again, if you're going to just make up a reason to not want to live in your flat.
Oh, I have plenty.
You know, you'd go with something other than, and there's a demonic presence.
Excuse me,
in the flat.
Excuse me, I'm being haunted.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any chance you could move me around the corner? but do you know what? It was funny because I did try to leave.
Yeah.
And I was shown a couple of flats in the area. I didn't particularly want to leave there, around there. Mm. And I'd made friends, you know, with people.
Yeah.
And it was where I wanted to be. And
it just didn't
want nothing.
You.
No, it just, I was not.
I wonder who's in there now. Like, I wonder, I always think, you know, not that I'd ever have the bravado to do it, but I'd always love if you could just go up and knock and say, can I just ask?
How are you here?
Yeah.
I know there was a nurse who lived there before me and she only stuck up for 3 months for whatever reason.
Well, that's telling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, because you'll know this. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, and I found out there was a much older guy who lived there for a while with his mum.
Mm.
And I was thinking, oh, was it her?
Yeah.
This guy looked after, was it her? Was it the mum going, you know, you don't belong here, get out, I don't like you. Mm. Whoever it was did not like me.
Yeah.
And I felt it personally.
Yeah.
You know, you just get it from some people, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Some people can express it with a look or whatever. This is how it felt.
I wonder if you ever got a man living there on his own, if he was all right. You know, we're saying women, that it didn't like women.
Yeah, I think, I do think it'd be all right. Mm. And it was... It was very, very odd. And when I was asked to come and view the flat, they said, we're looking for the right person to move in. You know, just needs to be the right person. Well, that's what I thought afterwards. Because I was thinking, you know, quiet, partying days, sort of, you know, pretty much done. Sort of quiet, older woman in there, tolerant, I suppose.
Yeah, that's what they mean, yeah.
Tolerant of the noise and the chaos. Mm. And it just got to be, and it was, you know, it was going to be my lovely place and my garden outside. I was going to plant an acer tree. And, you know, I had plans. And then not too long after I moved in, probably after the first month, things started to get stripped away from the lovely dream.
Isn't that interesting? I'd love to go there.
So how long were you for there in total? Did you know that?
Over 18 months. Over 18 months. And it was going to be forever.
Yeah, it was supposed to be that.
Oh, it
long
was?
Term.
I just... Yeah. Yeah. That was the plan.
You'd expect that with a nurse as well, wouldn't you? A nurse would generally be looking for, like, a long term. Yeah. But, you know, it's not a job that you move around a lot with.
But it's interesting.
She's
as well.
At the Royal. Yeah. Happy days. I can walk to work. Yeah. I mean, it's great for me because I used to rehearse the other side of TJ's. Right. I used to walk, you know. My thing would be... I'd run up the steps of the Catholic Cathedral, you know, Rocky style, to make sure I could still breathe at the top. You know, I'm fit. This is great. Fantastic. And then... So I'd take all that energy with me. I'd have a great day rehearsing with mates, you know, whatever. And in the evenings, I'd be on stage singing, dancing. Yay! And then as I'd got to the flat... the steps to go in, it'd be like, and then in through the flat door, and oh God, here we go, and turn the light on.
It's no way to live, is it?
No, it's no way to live, I very often, quite recently said that your house needs to be a place where you it's literally where you recharge and relax, it needs to be a sanctuary.
Well, where I live now is that. You come back and you're like, oh, I live here. Isn't that great? Isn't it lovely when you walk into a flat and you go, I live here.
This is
my home. I can't believe this.
Yeah,
you know,
this is
mine. This is great. Whether it's rented or whatever, and I've always lived in old buildings. The building I live in now is it older than the one on Hope Street? It could be. You know, it's around the same period.
Yeah, it's all the mansions, isn't it? From way back when the money was in.
Yeah, yeah. Ours definitely was.
So outside of the Hope Street apartment, then obviously you've done a lot of theatre work, but outside, just be it in theatre or be it in your personal life, anything else in the world of the paranormal that you've encountered?
I think I've always felt, and I've not been sort of taught it, but I always felt that sometimes there are things close to you, like you're saying about that feeling of this is a female and I don't like it, stuff like that. I remember once we were travelling in Scotland, we were really happy, we travelled from Skye across to Inverness, and we were travelling down, and we stopped at this really old building, had to go and have a little route round, and it was an old turreted tower, and you just walked. I mean, it was open to the public. I didn't just. I don't break into places, but it was open to, and we walked in. I can't remember where exactly it was, but we're travelling down Scotland and walked into it, and even now, I cannot be here. I have to leave.
Really?
I cannot be here, I can't breathe properly, and turn around and walk back down. What was that all about?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, this is obviously pre-Hope Street days. I couldn't be in that room. Walked upstairs, it was like, oh no, this is horrible. It felt
like
encroaching.
Like claustrophobic sort of thing.
Horrible and covered. And sometimes you just get that thing, get out.
Yeah.
Get out, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to leave straight away. Some of the things I felt that people would look at you and go, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
Have been warm and positive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've had some very nice experiences that are not of, you know, not the ordinary.
Yeah.
So you said about your mother earlier. My mum, I just sort of feel, quite close occasionally. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll get, stop showing off, Ethna.
Right, okay.
Or no, it'll be Ethna. Even now when I say it, I can sort of feel it because that's how, it's not even my name, mother.
Right.
It's like, Ethna. And then I'll just get that, all right, I'll sit down.
Yeah, you've got to tell off.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. But the as I say, there's a closeness sometimes and a warmth that I quite like, that if there's something else about the veil being thin or whatever, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've
about,
not studied
like,
it.
Theatres and the like, have you ever been somewhere or have you ever heard a great story of somebody you've worked with in terms of the paranormal?
There's supposed to be a ghost at the Royal Court Theatre.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's been a guy upstairs, and I've never really been up there on my own.
Yeah.
It's never been within the remit for me to be there, so I don't know how that feels.
Yeah.
But the court, to me, in all its... Because when I went there for the first time, I think about 2005, it was pre all its modern...
Yeah, it's been done on
renovations,
quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah. So it was still pretty grubby in places, and you go downstairs, but I've always felt welcomed on that stage.
Yeah.
Felt welcomed on that stage. And most theatres, I have to say, that's what I felt.
That's the feeling you've got.
Yeah. Normally you're working with people that you really like,
yeah.
And you're doing something exciting, whether it's tragic or comic or musical or whatever. It's very rare. Sometimes you'll get smally dark places.
Yeah.
But you just like, I'll just go that way.
Mm. Yeah. When you say you feel welcomed on the stage, is that like a neutral, as in, you know, you were happy to be there and it was kind of a neutral place, or was it like a positive thing?
Sometimes you'll feel it, sometimes you'll feel something.
Okay.
You know, really. I know it sounds like ridiculous, but sometimes you get that, I'm awfully glad you're here. That's my way of expressing it.
Yeah.
But then there's a warmth, and whether it's generated by the people around you or from you, just like, I'm awfully glad you're here. Yeah. And there's a place where, because I was a silent child, I was really quiet and timid as a kid.
Yeah.
So to end up standing in front of however many people, it tends to be going, and now you're going to listen to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got from that to that.
Yeah,
really.
No, I wouldn't have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, certain people pushing you going, yeah, you can do it. But I've never, ever been anywhere since where I've experienced that feeling of cold, you know, get out.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I always say to you, Donna, that I want, if he had no, absolute no emotions, I'd love to go and just knock on.
Mm-hmm.
And say, I wouldn't say I believe that this is haunted. There's certain places that when I find out on the pool that they're haunted, I want to slip a note through and just say, if you're experiencing anything weird, please give us a call.
Yeah, acts like it's a generic.
Acts like a generic and everyone's got one. I mean, to be fair, that's on Hope Street there and Gambier Terrace and all that area.
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably be all right with it because they'd be like, well, you know, it's opposite to a massive graveyard, 50,000 people in it.
Yeah, because I did sleep in, long before I moved up there, I did sleep in another flat on Hope Street.
Oh, yeah.
Right, sort of the other end, you know, by the college.
Yes.
By you know, when it was opposite there. And that was one where I just sat up. There was something in the room.
Really?
Yeah, I just sat up and thought, because it was a friend's house. Not a close friend, but, you know, we can stay at ours. You know, my mum won't mind, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I shouldn't really have been there. Because my parents thought it was somewhere else, but it was one of those, oh great, okay, I can stay here, and oh my god, what a great place. I really don't ever want to be in this room again.
Really?
That was another Hope Street, that was right the other end,
because there's one of the Hope Street houses has got links to the body snatchers, hasn't it, I believe. In the basement they found pickled bodies that were going to be sent up to Birkenhead.
Yeah, they're quite a business out of it.
Yeah, and you know,
it's an old street, isn't it? Let's be honest, it's one of the oldest in Liverpool. Because we've done on one of our Halloween specials, Blackburn House is on Hope Street for anyone who knows.
Oh, yeah, when we've
done our second Halloween special there, didn't we?
Why didn't I know of this? I'm supposed to be appearing in Blackburn House a week Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be doing a concert there.
Oh, wow.
With Blood Brothers friends, believe it or not.
Oh, really? It's all come full circle now, you see.
Mickey Stark, who did Brookside.
Yeah,
Sinbad and Davy Edge. The three of us did Blood Brothers together at the Leicester Haymarket.
Oh, really?
When the Mrs. Johnson was Leslie Nicol, who plays Mrs. Patmore, is it? In, Yeah, it's from... oh, gosh, what's it called? Why does it do this? You know the one, the very posh house and everything? They're all upstairs, downstairs, tried 70 things.
Downton Abbey.
Thank you so much for your help. So we're supposed to be playing at Blackburn House.
Oh,
it's,
really?
It's a place I am very happy in.
Yeah, it's...
We've done a lot in.
We've done
it.
Yeah,
they were brilliant with us, weren't they? They're really good.
Yeah,
they
gave
us a full room.
And one of them, like, did it with us. Max,
yeah, we did a seance.
We did a tour.
Gorgeous girl.
Max,
yeah. She helped publicise concerts I was doing there.
Oh, really?
We met and it was like, oh, you're slightly different, Max, aren't you? Love it. Come on to me.
She's
gorgeous.
She's really into it.
She's done a seance with us.
Yeah, she gave us a tour.
Which you don't normally get from people who say, you know, when you say, like, can we come and do something spooky in your house? They don't normally say, yeah, and I'll do it with you. Which was great.
Yeah, she gave us a full tour, which took us up to, like, this attic.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately at the time, we have one now, but we only had this set up for podcasting at the time. So we had to set up in a room, and we've got a portable recorder now, so we could have.
Yeah.
If we had went round the full site.
Yeah.
But we had to keep coming back to the room and saying we didn't see it.
But we also didn't realise, so I think you took a pendulum as well, didn't you? But the thing is with podcasts, it's completely audio. We just sat there in silence. This is going to be awful. He's awful listeners because we're just watching it. You haven't thought this through.
Yeah, we were there for like 3 hours and it edited down to like 20 minutes because of like, is anyone there? 30 seconds of silence. You have to close up.
Yeah, you need audio activities, don't you? Not.
For people who are just listening to this, the pendulum is now moving from left to right. In a very slow, circular move. Oh, it's going round. Oh, dear Lord, what's happening now? I'm off.
You can come to the next one. That was such a well-spoken English accent. The Americans will be loving that.
Yeah. Well, do you know I'm the voice of the on the Mersey Ferry?
Oh, you really?
Stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. That's my ferry voice.
Really? Guys, this is the ferry cross the Mersey.
The ferry cross the Mersey.
Yeah.
I just sometimes feel I should go down and apologise to the poor lads who actually work on it, you know.
Hearing you all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are leaving us here at Birkenhead, please make sure you've taken all your belongings with you.
Because we've heard that way so many times.
You know what you really should do? You should wait till those guys get off the ship and start walking home and just like out of bushes. I'm still here. I'm never going to leave.
It's so funny. It's always got to be done into a glass so you get that echoey sound. It doesn't sound the same. Ladies and gentlemen, if you... No.
I'm going to take a glass and give everyone a go. And I'm going to guess who this is. No one will guess.
So you see, from somebody who's like me, who's used to be... Yeah. I agree. Who is like very positive, all of those things, to have spent 18 months from start to finish and end up where you're just like, I can't live here anymore.
It was obvious from when we first met you in the Blackburn Arms, was it?
Yeah, Blackburn Arms.
In the pub there, that you're obviously, you wasn't drinking. And normally if someone's jolly and they're drunk, you think, well, that's because they're drunk. But you wasn't drinking, you're jolly, enthusiastic, upbeat sort of person.
I don't drink.
It's quite obvious. I mean, I don't now.
Yeah. And also, I wasn't drinking at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a long time since. But so, just to head back to that, because I'm trying to think now, I'm remembering other things that, you know, that happened. That was sort of very, very odd. Things like, you know, the doorbell would go, and I went to answer it, and I broke my toe on the way there and opened it, and there's nobody there.
And really?
I had, you know, the doorbell went, and I was in the bedroom, and I jumped to go and answer the door, and by the time I got back, I'd broken my toe.
Wow.
There was physical marks on my body from where I've been there, you know.
See, that's seriously. That's different, isn't it? It's not just like a...
I'm not that careless a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, you know, all respect it, you're not usually like a clumsy person. Or...
I've never broken my toe before in my life.
Right. Okay.
And I've never, gone into a fallen mirror or...
Yeah, the fall. What happened with the mirror again? Because that's jarring.
There was one, if I just described to you, if the back room, say if you walk in and there's a massive big window in front of you, which looks onto the back garden yardy place, on the right-hand side of the wall, it's a very big, spacious room, very tall. There's a massive fireplace. And then there's an arch where at one point you would have walked from the front room through into the second room. These were your reception rooms.
Yeah, when it was all one house.
When it was all one house. These were your reception rooms. At the back of the hallway were the stairs upstairs and also then downstairs to the basement, you know. So, and so this big arch, I had a table there at one point. I moved furniture around, fitting everything in. This arch, that door, the entrance to that room was where the cold, horrible feeling was.
So it literally hit you like a wall.
You had to pass through it. And I would catch myself looking over there.
Right.
You catch that. And once, I'd forgotten about this. I'm so glad you reminded me. Once, Sunday afternoon, I'm lying on the couch in this room, happily chatting away to a very good friend. Music's on, flowers, blah, 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 all of this business. You know, it's a nice Sunday afternoon. And the next moment, what's the matter? And a black wisp of fog, smoke, cloud just went from one wall through to the other.
Really?
I'm awfully sorry, Beck. Wow. But no, that's what I saw. I've never seen it before. I said, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. Electrically as well, things wouldn't work properly. There was all sorts of, for God's sake, you know.
It just sounds like such a dark place. I mean, you've described it wonderfully.
Just that room.
It does make me think, is there any sort of, have you ever seen any history on the building or anything like that?
No.
It sounds like it's a good job they did brick it up, because at least you had the bedroom as
The bedroom, the bedroom absolutely was a sanctuary. And it was only, you know, when I was, after I'd been living there for quite a while, I was sort of thinking, I'm living in this bedroom.
I
was only in the back room if I had guests. If there were guests there, the atmosphere lightened. You know, people bring energies in with them, don't they, you know. And so if it was there, but I wouldn't spend a lot of time in that room on my own. My son was fine. he'd stay over.
Again, though, if that ties into the mail.
Yeah.
So where was that? So when you said it was an outrigger, so it would go bedroom. If you're looking at it like as a bed's idea, it would go bedroom, the dark room, kitchen, bathroom.
Yeah, kitchen, long corridor, bathroom.
Right.
So there was a space, you know, there's that space there, but lots of problem with water,
And electrics as well.
Electrics, yeah.
So because they say that, obviously, don't they? They say, you know, electrics is one of the, you'll often see, I watch a lot of these, like Most Haunteds and, you know, where ghost hunting shows, and you'll often see if they're in an area where something's allegedly meant to be taking place, batteries will drain and lights will go out and, you know, all sorts of, as you say, electrical interference stuff takes place.
Yeah. But I don't really watch those shows.
Yeah.
So this is first-hand experience, I wouldn't know what to look for.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the key thing.
I wouldn't know what to look for. And I've never experienced anything like that before. But it, as you can see, it's left its mark on me.
Yeah.
It really
and
did.
And it's interesting that you say you still don't feel like you've completely got rid of it.
No.
Well, we're going to talk to Ethna some more on the Patreon episode.
Yeah, you're going to stay with us for a little bit longer, aren't
you? Happy days.
And we'll drill into that feeling that you've not like quite got rid of it yet. So, if you'd like to hear that, then you need to go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. In the meantime...
Ladies and gentlemen, could you now go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts for more with Ethna Brown. Thank you.
Amazing.
Can't sign off an episode any better than that. Well, on behalf of me and Becca, thank you very much.
Yes, it's been an absolute pleasure. Brilliant. There's nothing in this flat.
Really?
And thank you.
You're not on the back anymore.
Yeah, right. Bothers.
Thanks, Edna.